Welcome back to Talkin' Baseball alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Carey Crowley, and it's a pleasure to welcome in our next guest, statistician for the Milwaukee Brewers broadcast team, a good friend of mine from down at the Arizona State Cronkite School, Dominic Catronio. Dom, what's going on? Happy 4th, brother.
Happy 4th, Carey. Good to hear from you, man. Hope all is well. It's good to see that you guys are in person down there in Phoenix. So that's one step closer to normalcy.
Absolutely. And speaking of baseball, speaking of holidays, the Brewers are celebrating. Even though they lost 2-0 today to the Pittsburgh Pirates, they've got the biggest lead of any club in the National League in all of baseball right now in the NL Central with a 7-game advantage over the Cincinnati Reds. They're a story right now. How have they done it this season, Dom, and opened up this big advantage in the Central?
Well, the last time we talked a lot about the bullpen and that the pitching staff has been really good. And, you know, that's kind of was the MO of this team coming in. You knew Brandon Woodruff was going to be really good, an all-star in 2019. You knew that, you know, what they're going to figure out with Freddy Peralta, is he going to be more of a starter this year? And clearly the answer is yes. Corbin Burns, they were looking for him to bounce back after he really jumped onto the scene back in his rookie year. But lately it's been the offense. You know, 11-game winning streak doesn't happen by accident. And I don't care what anybody says about the strength of schedule on the other side facing this stretch started against the Rockies and then against the Diamondbacks and then against the Cubs and then against these Pirates. But look, there's still big league hitters on the other side, big league pitchers on the other side. And today was a great example. Can't take any day off and you lose 2-0 to the Pittsburgh Pirates. And it's the offense lately. And the one name in particular, it's Willy Adames. It's that trade really turned this team around, and his energy, and there was a whole different vibe as soon as he arrived. May 22nd was his first game. Today was the 41st game since Willy Adames arrived, and the Brewers are 30-11 since Willy Adames arrived. So there's your answer right there. It's all about Willy.
I think that that's a great point. And, you know, you look at how trades, even minor trades, they're at the time viewed as small, can impact a major league club and can make a huge difference. I go back to when the Giants acquired Marco Scudero, kind of a light hitting infielder, and all he did during the second half was take off and help lead the Giants to a World Series. Willy Adames was a light hitting infielder for the Tampa Bay Rays, probably not expected to do all that much when he was acquired by the Brewers, Dom. But this guy is whacking the baseball right now and playing with an infectious energy that's clearly helping that Milwaukee club in a variety of ways.
As soon as he arrived in the clubhouse, everyone's been saying he's just a natural-born leader. He has taken over. He is bringing energy. He is talking to everybody. He has a smile on his face every day. And look, as a statistician, most people would, you know, shrug that stuff aside. Like, I believe in that. That is such a huge part. We're in July, man. We're barely past the halfway point. All-star break next week. This month and August, of course, are the two hardest months to gear up and get ready for, because you know really in the back of your mind, like, all right, if we go on a little 6-game losing streak here, it doesn't really matter. And quite frankly, just like going on an 11-game winning streak, although it's cool, it's only July. So there's still a lot to do to get going. And Willie's been a big guy to just make sure energy comes every day. And I think it's twofold with Willie and with this team and with himself. First of all, he's been having to deal with the whispers behind his back in Tampa Bay of like, hey, Wander Franco's coming. Wander Franco's coming. Look out. Wander Franco's coming. Knowing that he's probably going to get unseated at short. He's kind of bounced around over there down in Tampa Bay. And secondly, here with the Brewers, by him arriving, and Luis Urias, who you remember was acquired from the Padres, has really, I don't want to say struggled is the wrong word, but he hasn't really got a strangle, you know, just got a huge hold of an everyday shortstop position. So the Brewers realized they needed to lighten the load on Luis Urias a little bit. They move him to third base after Travis Shaw gets hurt and solidify Willy Adames, your everyday starting shortstop. Solidify Luis Urias, your everyday starting third baseman. And it has worked for both of them immensely. And just looking at the numbers, too, the whispers maybe getting to Willy in Tampa. He was hitting under 200. He was hitting 197 at the start of the year. He's almost identical now in games played. He's got about 20 more plate appearances now with Milwaukee versus Tampa Bay. And it's a full 180. He hit 197 in Tampa Bay. He's hit 292 so far here in Milwaukee's. OPS has gone from 625 to 916. So he's loving it here. He's clutch. He plays amazing defense. And this is something I found out recently that was really surprising when he first arrived. He has the second strongest throwing arm in all of baseball among shortstops. First is Fernando Tatis Jr. So that's pretty good company to be in. And he has the fourth highest WAR among shortstops since he arrived in Milwaukee, and that's only trailing guys like Tatis, Correa, and the shocker of everybody, the Seattle Mariners and J.P. Crawford. So it's all about Willy Adames, man. It's amazing what he's done here in Milwaukee.
A really good perspective from Dominic Catronio. One of our favorite things to do on Talking Baseball is look around at the rest of the league, look around at the big stories, and the Brewers are a story right now. And Dom, I want to ask you, because it really does feel like the Brewers have the potential to run away with the NL Central, with the Cubs on a big 9-game losing streak now. The Reds haven't quite been firing on all cylinders this season. This Milwaukee team gets into the playoffs. How much trouble can a pitching staff with Brandon Woodruff, Freddie Peralta, and Corbin Burns give opponents like the Dodgers, like the Mets, like the Giants if they were to get there?
It's all about pitching, and just like we've seen right there in the Bay Area, the Giants' pitching has been amazing. And then when you get a little bit of offense, it makes that pitching feel even better. And when you're in the postseason, you know how it goes, Kerry, in that when you're down 2-0 against a pitcher like Woodruff, and then knowing you've got Devin Williams and Josh Hader lurking for the 8th and 9th innings, and oh, by the way, Brad Boxberger has been really having a resurgence this season, so he's got the 7th inning. You're like, oh, man, like 2 runs feels like 20 runs. And I really, really would be fearful of this team in the postseason. Yes, there is maybe a glaring hole with the offense, but that's just looking at the traditional stats. They live and die with the home run, just like most teams in the big leagues. They don't have one big bopper. Sure, Avisaíl García has 15 homers, but Keston Hira has been on the mend coming back. You've got suddenly Willy Adames, of course. He's really been raking well. He's got 8 homers with the Brewers as well. And then when Colton Wong gets healthy again, he's been showing some pop lately. And, oh, by the way, this is the scariest part of all this. Christian Yelich hasn't really done anything. And I'm not saying he's playing poorly. He's leading the Brewers in walks. He's in the top 10 in on-base percentage. He's worked through his back issues he's had earlier in the year. He's playing almost every day. And the fact that Christian Yelich hasn't truly gotten going and the Brewers are playing this well should really, really strike fear into everybody else in the National League.
And I'm of the belief that even Jackie Bradley Jr. could get it going. We know what he can do on defense, but a 549 OPS, he's not going to hit like that all season. Jackie Bradley Jr. could be big for that Brewers club as well, Dom. Hey, before we let you go, I want to ask you, because the Brewers are an interesting organization. You know, they're not one that's going to go out and make a blockbuster move. They're not going to go out and sign a $150, $200 million guy. What could this organization do to upgrade at the trade deadline? What kind of moves could Milwaukee make to put itself in better position for the postseason?
It's really a great question, because we were talking about this in the press box the other day, and every team looks at itself and evaluates, all right, what do we need? What do we need to get? Like, the obvious answer would be offense, but then you counter that and you see this offense by committee, and is it worth it to get a rental or to get, you know, somebody that's not even going to play full time, just to have a little more pop? I guess you could say maybe a first baseman, given Daniel Vogelbach is going to be out for a while. He's got a hurt leg from last week in Arizona. Keston Hira is still not quite a first baseman. He's getting better and better each day, but you still hold your breath on ground balls that way. He did make a fantastic play today, though, but maybe first base. But in the end, is it really worth it to get one, to give up so much? The farm system isn't exactly stocked. I wouldn't say it's desolate, but it's not exactly stocked with talent that teams would be crazy to go after. The outfield is overloaded right now with guys like Jace Peterson, who can play all over the place, and he's been the hottest hitter on the planet. He's got an on-base like that's near Barry Bonds levels of this stretch that he's in right now. He's got like a 670 on-base in his last 10 games. It's been bonkers for Jace Peterson. He can fill in left field. You got Yelly in left. You've got Jackie Bradley Jr. in center, who, yes, by the way, is heating up as of late. Avisaíl García in right field as well. Colton Wong is on the mend at second base. You got a Luis Urias. This roster is pretty set, and we obviously know they don't need any more pitching. I mean, you can never say no to pitching, and maybe the number one thing about this team, aside from Colton Wong and aside from Lorenzo Cain and Yelich earlier in the year, they've been very healthy, especially on the pitching side. Corbin Burns is not going to miss a start. You may have saw that he exited the game after a funky landing on the mound in Pittsburgh the other night. He's not going to miss a start. He's going to pitch against the Mets this coming week. So I think this team is very lock and loaded. If you're going to pick and choose something, maybe first base. But with Keston Hira swinging well, you may not want to take his bat out of the lineup.
Ah, good stuff. Dominic Catronio, kind enough to join us, Brewers statistician. And the Brewers are a story. We'll be keeping tabs on them for the rest of the year, and we hope to have Dom on later on this season. Thank you so much, sir, and enjoy the 4th of July holiday.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks for having me.
All right, a lot more coming up next on Talking Baseball with Bill, Marty, and myself. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 680 The Sports Leader.